Hey, what is this? I got a new Skype.
We have new Skypes.
And I've got a plus sign on the bottom. It's got a red flashing light on it.
Don't press it. Don't press it. It'll blow.
Add, send, and share. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to start sending us ads, Barry.
That's new. I'm going to press it. Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, AT&T upgrades Peterborough to LTE. Lightning strikes Copper Harbor again. And has Google Maps lost its way with Waze? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire.
Free or die.
Here's Joel, Barry J, Barty, and Michael. Welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 107 from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, where somebody's dialing in as we speak. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where it is a very summer-like day, this is Joel.
And from the extremely warm and humid Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
And Michael can't make it tonight. He took another lightning strike on his internet connection. That's for the town. And so he was barely able to get email out to me to let me know he's not going to make it. So we know what he's going to be doing tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, poor bastard.
So it is a Labor Day weekend, the end of summer, September 1st. Can you believe it's September already? Jeez, I mean, it was just like, seems like New Year's was just yesterday.
Well, I wouldn't say exactly New Year's. To me, the spring kind of crawled along. Summer got accelerated when I started going on a lot of trips. I mean, it was like all of a sudden I was flying all over the place, and like I come home and summer's gone, and it's like, what the hell? Where'd it go?
Yeah. Gone are those days. I remember for 3 years in a row, I didn't spend an August in New Hampshire. I was on some long trip or a couple of trips in a row, back to back, and. Yeah, August was like, I wonder what it's like to be in New Hampshire in August, you know? But that hasn't happened the past few years, so. Anyway, so, good news. Here in the Monadnock region of New Hampshire, AT&T has finally upgraded their cell tower in Peterborough to LTE.
And
I noticed that on Thursday, I believe it was, on the way home. And I immediately did a speed test, and now I get better speeds on my phone than I do from my DSL at home.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny as hell.
But, of course, well, I have unlimited data, but they'll... slow me down to 128 if I go over 2 gig.
Yeah, right. I like how that's unlimited. You know,
the limited unlimited.
Piss them off and then they throttle you.
So, which boggles the mind.
Yeah, but I was amazed. I thought it would be at least another year before LTE made it out here. So,
hey, we're still waiting just for plain cell service.
Oh, man. There's not much going on this week, so we're going to have to...
make things up.
Yeah, we're going to have to make things up as we go along, because it has been slow tech news-wise.
Well, they're still talking about Ballmer stepping down, you know, and who should replace him.
Yeah.
There's been all kinds of names thrown in. And then, you know, it's kind of like, as long as it's somebody who's young and energetic, I think they'll do okay. But if they throw another screwball in like Ballmer, they're hosed.
Hold on a second. Could you say that? Who did you say stepping down?
Ballmer, Steve Ballmer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
CEO
of
Micro. We talked about that in the last show, right?
Right, right. I missed that.
No, he didn't specify a date. He just said within the next 12 months. And now I guess those 12 months are accelerating and he's going to be gone probably within 1 to 2 months.
Yeah, 12 days. Maybe.
Basically. Yeah, as soon as they find someone to put in his chair, he's gone.
Yeah, I think the board has about had it with him.
So. Yeah. Well, he's kind of embarrassed himself a number of times. You know, and how he hung around this long kind of beats me, except maybe it was just because he was Bill's such, you know, really close friend, you know, and you don't want to piss Bill off.
Yeah, but he's got his own country in the middle of the ocean right now. What difference does it make?
Well, he's still a major owner of the company. So, you know, if he wanted to come back and start kicking ass, he would be well able to.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to make the old man come back.
Good point.
And he doesn't want to come back.
But, you know, it's really, really funny how Microsoft is getting more and more Apple-like. Like, the Xbox Live experience is all being reconstructed and all rearranged and starting to look more like the Apple model of having an iTunes store, a bookstore, mm-hmm. a separate music store, you know, and all that. And where before they were having this whole big Xbox Live where it was all thrown into one big pile, you know. Now they're getting rid of Live, and they want to break it all down into, like, little departments, like the way Apple has it set up, you know.
Yeah.
It's really kind of interesting.
And Apple's starting to slowly change to the Tim Cook's model. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of amazing that they're actually going to start doing things like selling a cheap version of the iPhone, something that would have never happened if Steve Jobs was still around.
Exactly, because there's always quality was it. You know, this is the quality. This is what it costs. And when you pay it, you're going to get an excellent product. You know, you're right.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you ever read his autobiography.
I haven't, no.
But they talk in there where Steve Jobs gets his dedication to quality from his adopted dad, who was a cabinet builder when Steve was a young boy. And he would make the backside of the cabinets that were going to be facing the wall look just as good as the front. And Steve was like, well, why do you put all that time and effort and money into making the back look that good when no one's going to ever see it? Mm-hmm. He says, because it speaks about the quality of your work. Everything, whether it's seen or not, should be of the highest quality you can produce. And that drove Steve all the way through his Apple years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Tim Cook has that same kind of orientation. You know, he's kind of like, well, okay, if we can sell a cheap phone and sell more iPhones, let's go for it. Mm-hmm. You know? And now they're even going into that trade-in program where you can trade in your older phone for a newer phone.
Yeah, I saw that. It started today or yesterday, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. But it's starting to get more of a Kmart or Walmart kind of atmosphere, you know? It's like, okay, what are they going to come up next, you know?
It used to, yeah. You know what? I'm right on the same page. There used to be a certain exclusivity mm-hmm. when you worked in the world of Apple, you know? I mean, of all of us, I was the longest-lasting and dumbest holdout to get into the Apple environment. And once I got in, when you guys finally, after I don't know how many years of convincing me, realized, wow, there is a whole new environment, a whole world here, and there is a certain degree of exclusivity to it because it's more expensive, it's higher quality, stuff just works. And now, like right along with what you're saying, now they're going to cheapen it up, and I think that's going to be a bad move.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the long-term fallout ends up being from a move like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I'm just kind of concerned about how that's all going to play out in the long run. In the short run, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people really happy and excited, but in the long run, I wonder how the overall opinion and attitude that people have towards Apple, I wonder how that's really going to be. You know, are they going to become just another great big retailer?
Probably. Or,
you know, because they're already slipping away from becoming like the BMW of the computer world, you know? I mean,
right.
It was always like they were the producers of the BMWs and Mercedes-Benz of computing, mm-hmm. and everybody else bought the Fords and Chevys, you know?
Right, exactly. Wow, nice analogy.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And September 10th, when they make the announcements on stuff, actually, it sounds like they're going to have announcements on September 10th, and there's going to have some announcements in October and potentially November. So they're kind of dragging things out, which is good because they need to do that, because the way they only come out with new products at pretty much one end of the year now, all the other companies are stealing some of the limelight away from them during the rest of the year. So, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, if they truly are putting that A7 chip in the new iPhones, that could be something pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm more interested in the next release of the iPad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they said they're going to split that up, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's what I've heard. So that might be part of the thing, that whatever shows up in like October or maybe even November.
And here Joel's waiting to buy one. I'm telling him, wait until September 10th. Now the rumors are they might not announce the iPads till October.
That's okay. I already bought one.
Oh, did you?
Oh, my beautiful bride did.
Okay. What you got?
She went and got a one. Hmm. Because the pricing was right and didn't want to sit around and wait for forever in a blue moon, and it does what she's going to need it to do.
Okay, as long as she's happy with it for what she needs it to do, because they will be probably not upgradable after.
But the idea behind it being,
I think they already are. Hmm. I don't think they're going to run iOS 7.
But who cares? I mean, realistically, I mean, I know. Honest to God, I got friends of mine that are still using their iPod Touch 1s. And you know what? They're still downloading podcasts. They're still playing them. There's a couple games they can't play. Oh, well. But it still does everything else that they want it to do. And you know, the idea is you can get it for $100.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with that.
Exactly. You know, so now you're using an iPad for $100. Oh, well, shit. That's pretty damn good. In my book, you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm still watching a movie on a screen that's awesome. And yet it was only just, what was it, 3 years ago? It was the thing in the whole wide world to have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So, I mean, my point being is you guys are developers and software writers and oogie boogie and have to have the latest news. Quite frankly, I'm completely the opposite. I for those who want to run out and buy something brand new, I'm the kind of guy who buys a good quality used one. So there's a market for me. Because I don't pay full price for jack shit, and I won't.
Well, that's true. I stay on top of it because I'm busy learning how to code them, and right. And right now it's kind of I'm learning on the old Xcode, mm-hmm. Of course they announced the new one WWDC, and they've changed everything, but yet there's no real information out about it. Nobody's written any books yet about it. I'm sure they'll be out as soon as it becomes available.
That's because it hasn't been officially released yet.
Yeah. So, you know, but it's hard to look.
All wrapped up under non-disclosure agreements.
Yes, like it's hard to look at the old books and look at the new Xcode and make sense out of it, because they did move some stuff around. I think it's better. I think it's better, but it makes it difficult. So, yes. So yeah, supposedly they're also going to announce upgrades soon to the MacBook Pros too. So,
oh God,
they're gonna have the Haswell chips in there.
I can't wait till the new MacBook and then the new Mac Pro comes out.
Oh, that's coming out.
Like such a stunning desktop. I was looking around in the PC world to see who sells anything similar. Dell has a number of machines that are using the Xeon, the Xe5 processor,
mm-hmm.
and most of their systems with like 8 gig of memory and 1 or 2 gig, a terabyte rather, hard drive, is selling for about $3,000 with a decent graphics card in it. So I'm thinking, well, that'll probably be somewhere around where the Mac Pro might hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the bottom of the Mac Pro.
Well, they're not putting as much in it anymore. I mean, you don't have the great big expansion cage that you did in the current model.
No.
You're not going to be able to shove in 4 hard drives, you know?
They're going to use they're betting on Lightning or Lightning 2.
Yeah, Lightning, you're right.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's called. Yeah. And you know, having all this stuff external. Which so, that could be
that should bring down the price of the actual desktop machine, I would think. Because you don't have all those drives on the inside, you don't have all those bays, you have to run power for and things.
That's true. But you would think
the whole design of it is just really incredible.
Yeah, it looks really neat.
Well, they're talking to like 7 teraflops of possible processing power, you know, which is twice as much as the mid-level Mac Pro now.
Yeah. The only thing I've heard some people that use them, Mac Pros, is a lot of them have, the ones that really use MacBook Pros have racks of them, and literally they've got them in racks. And the first thing they said is, who makes a rack for these things? Because these cylindrical computers, you know. But, you know, somebody's going to make a rack for these things, and you're going to, you know, it'll be some kind of carousel thing, you know.
Well, even the old Mac Pro wasn't that easy to make rackable. It was easier than a cylinder, you know, but it still is a bit of a unique case.
Right. You know? That's true. So, but it's going to be neat. I don't know when they're going to announce those. It'll be interesting to see if they announce everything on September 10th or if they do just kind of spread it all across 3 months, you know, worth of announcements. So, and nobody said anything about iPods. Are they still making iPods?
Yeah. Yes, they're still making the classic.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing that they're still making the classic.
That's what I use.
Yeah.
The iPod Touch, if you're using it as a commuter, there's too many buttons to press. You have to slide across first just to get access to it, and then there's like 18 things you gotta press to get to where you want. A single thumb wheel on an iPod Classic does it all really quick. You can memorize the positions and you don't even have to look at the damn thing. Trust me, that's why I still use one. Plus, I like the idea that it's got a hard drive big enough to hold the biggest chunk of my music library.
There you go. Yeah. I just use Downcast. I've got Downcast memorized on my iPad or on my iPhone, so I don't even have to look at it when I'm accessing Downcast.
Well, how do you use that from your car?
I have a holder. I've got the thing sitting up in a. I've got one of those iPhone holders that fits in a cup holder.
Oh yeah.
So it kind of sits up in the center, and it's right there with my fingers. You know, my hand naturally goes, and. Yeah, I have no issues. I like I said, I can navigate through Downcast with no problems without even looking at it. Just because, yeah, I'm used to it. Plus, I have it set up so that, you know, once I start playing, it just rips through. You know, I have different libraries or whatever they call it. Playlists.
Yeah.
Set up. So, yeah, once I start a playlist, I'm listening to it till it's done. So. It's kind of turn it on and forget about it. So, yeah, it works out real well. Hey, I found this and just for you, Barty. I thought I'd play it for you right now. You might recognize it.
I was feeling down in the dumps. I know that the winter follows the fall. And in New York, the buildings are tall. I hear that in China they have a great wall. I know these things and more, but there's just one answer I'm still looking for.
Where the hell did you find this?
Who cut the cheese? woman got the cheese? I ask you, please, did you cut the cheese? I'm not averse to learning. Tell me why my eyes are burning. Who cut the cheese? Everybody! Who cut the cheese? Who cut the cheese? I ask you, please, did you cut the cheese? I'm not averse to learning. Tell me why my eyes are burning. Who cut the cheese?
That's awesome.
Well, after, after our talk about Two and a Half Men and when Charlie was out there making children's songs, I did a quick search on YouTube and found a couple. I got another one, short one. Another short one here. I don't know whether you remember this one, but it goes something like this.
Who loves boobies?
Yeah, I remember that one. That's a little hard to forget.
I'm a big kid now. Come on! I love boobies. I love boobies.
That's kind of like the child version of Joe Walsh's song, I Like Big Tits.
Yeah.
From his You Bought It, You Name It album, I think.
But the video that goes along with that, and I forgot, he was actually doing, he was going around doing concerts, and the place is filled with kids and parents.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was a child icon.
Yeah.
Charlie Waffles.
Charlie Waffles,
like
that's it.
Things and things like, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
It was hilarious.
Charlie Waffles. Oh, God. I found those, so I figured
out. I appreciate that. So, I have to go look for them because my wife will get a big kick out of them, too.
And and bad news, Barty, because you told us about that neat store in Vermont called Fool on the Hill.
Yeah.
I went to look them up on the internet to get a link to if they had a website. Oh, there's Michael. Hang
on. Michael!
Kill the cameras.
Kill the cameras.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't. Anyhow, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome.
You sound tired and not happy.
It's been a long day. I've been on EMS all weekend, but yeah, I'm sure Barry filled you in on the house, and
yes,
there's not enough uplink in the harbor, so I'm on top of Brockway right now, and I figured, damn it, I'm still going to call in.
That's a surprise.
I didn't think you were on the iPhone.
You're on the iPhone?
I don't think it's going to make it either. It's been a very long day. I literally came right from EMS to here.
Oh, wow.
But you sound good.
Hey, hi, everybody.
Hi, Michael.
It's Michael,
really
the virtual
Uber. We were just talking about the Fool on the Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I didn't think about that. Oh, too bad about the Fool on the Hill. And then Michael calls. Wait. Okay. I take it back. There is a Fool on the Hill. He called into our show. What a fool. He called in.
Today too.
I just had to mention that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, there's been 3 days of mountain bike races up here.
Oh.
So
EMS has been busy.
Labor Day is not exactly relaxing for me.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Imagine.
Is this the end for a while? I mean, after... well, yeah, as Joel said earlier, you'll be plowing snow tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, well, soon. There was a while later this afternoon, there was one point we thought it was a little bit mixed with snow. We've had thunderstorms and rain all day today.
You are kidding me.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's September.
No, I don't think it actually. Well, it could have been. It could have been sleet. It's been a cold day. It's coming out of the north. I completely interrupted your train of thought there. Sorry, guys. But
that's fine.
Yeah, 9 o'clock this morning. I'm getting ready to head out for the next day of mountain bike EMS activities, and I'm drinking my coffee and trying to. We already had some internet problems, and I was trying to.
And he's having some more right now.
Boy, his timing is impeccable. We were having internet problems, and There goes Michael.
He plans it. He's that good. I know he is. He is. He's that good. He's like, you know what? This will be an awesome cliffhanger. If I go, we were having internet problems. And
well, you know, it's just so funny when you talk about, you were talking about the fool in the hill. Michael's
that was classic. You have impeccable timing.
3G.
You have impeccable timing. We were just saying that because you say... Saying we were,
like, we're well today. Internet problem. You disappeared.
Well, if it happens again, I'll switch to 3G.
Okay,
that was a perfect way to accentuate your point.
It was. Yeah. Like I said, you planned it.
Anyhow, there was a flash bang, and I could tell it was over at my neighbor's house, and I was estimating it was about 100 yards away. First thing I noticed, I'd been sitting in a dark house, and some of the lights that were off in the house turned on.
Oh.
I've never seen that happen before.
Wow.
The ones that were off turned on?
Some lights that were off turned on.
Wow.
Some of the digital clocks jumped forward an hour.
Really? Has there been a guy in a pickup that was visited by aliens recently?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking a serious lightning strike here. I don't know. First thing we notice is that our brand new dryer is toast.
Oh, no.
Then we noticed the well wouldn't turn on. So then I went downstairs and replaced the 220-amp slow blow fuses and threw the switch, and they blew instantly. So the well's out. Then I went over to my neighbor where I thought it was, and I'll send you guys pictures. I can't do it right now, but there's about 4 feet of splintered tree trunk standing out of the ground, and that's all that's left. There's hundreds of feet of toothpicks around, but there isn't a piece of wood much more than 3 inches long anywhere.
Wow.
The tree just disappeared. Uh-huh. Some of the branches, the branches off the top of the tree got blown out from the tree trunk just horizontally, and they're laying in other treetops around the site. And this tree that vaporized is right next to a propane tank, also... There was a hole next to the propane tank, and then the impact of whatever, because I didn't see anything sitting there,
right.
But the impact of whatever caused the hole crimped and damaged the propane line coming out of the tank, but my neighbor caught that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, it happened on his property. He's got 2 bad light bulbs. That's it.
You are kidding.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm estimating the damage at my house so far between $2,000 and $3,000.
Oh my
and
God.
Two other houses surrounding the property also have rather extensive damage. I don't know how bad yet. But I didn't have time to spend a lot of time to figure out what was it. So I made sure nothing was on fire. Noticed that all of the internet equipment was fried again. Probably about $600 worth of routers and clients. And because I serve a pretty good-sized area around my property.
Right.
And fortunately, this... whole complex, the 5-acre complex of which I own half, used to be one resort, and they had 3 wells on it. So Gus, being the resourceful guy he was that built the place, I knew if I walked out in the yard and I dug down a certain point, I would find a 4-inch, actually I think it's more than 4, it's probably 8-inch pipe top to unscrew.
Mm-hmm.
So I dug all that clean, and I opened that up, and I got a custom piece of copper that we have for this copper pipe we have for this matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes down and meets the valve at the bottom of that copper pipe, or that 8-inch pipe, and you turn it with a pipe wrench, and it runs a bypass valve from the other well. So really? I was able to tie my neighbor's well into my house to get myself water again. And normally we pull this trick going the other way because we're the year-round residents and we've got a generator. So normally I supply the other 3 houses with water when the power goes out.
Right. So you're pulling from his pump.
So I'm pulling from their well, which is a large one. It's a large well and pressure tank that was originally designed for a couple. It's like a 12-unit or 10-unit hotel.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to get water back to the house before I left, but our well is toast.
Your pump is probably shot.
Your pump is shot.
Yeah. So I'm gonna I've got a really nice picture of the splintered tree trunk. I'm going to send it to my insurance agent and say, hey, Brian, guess right. what we get to do this week?
Let me ask you a question. Do you have one of those? Is your pump like the submersible one, so it's all the way at the bottom of the water pipe coming up to the house?
Or it's about 200 feet down.
Oh, that, so it's a nice, easy, you know, half-hour job.
Yeah.
actually, ours was 300 down, and was it last year?
Yep, I helped year the guy. Last.
I helped the guy do it, and they got mm-hmm. if they got the right equipment, it's not that tough a job to swap out a new pump.
Yeah, you long get the right gear, but if it were not insured, I would deal with it myself. But I'm just I think that was a $700 or $800 dryer that got toasted.
Oh, oh man,
well that might be covered.
Should be.
No, all of it's covered. As I said, I'm just it broke.
Wow!
File a claim.
It's last year, but the other two hits, although they've been a pain in the butt, they've been right around the deductible limit. Mm-hmm. So it's just that's not worth putting yourself on the radar for.
Yeah,
this one's definitely worth it.
Yeah. So, did all your gadgets survive?
I don't know. I literally had to leave shortly afterwards to spend the day tracking down. It's been raining and lightning and pouring, and my youngest son rode the race solo this year, which I was a little concerned about with the lightning. Mm-hmm. And the trail conditions were horrendous. I mean, the bridges were slick, and it rained through most of the race.
He did
17 miles in the rain and finished strong. I'm proud of him.
I'm surprised they still had it.
Tough kid.
I'm surprised they still had it, too. I had a couple of talks with the safety coordinator. Said, hey, guys, you do realize we've still got lightning coming through the area. And we've got, hundreds of riders and many hundreds of spectators watching the riders standing out in the open.
Next to tall trees.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, it all turned out well. Well, there's hundreds of people drinking in the community park right now. You know, what could go wrong? So that's been my Labor Day. Tomorrow it actually everybody goes away, and we have a dedication of the playground that we talked about last week, and I talked about in the podcast that shall not be named.
Yes, finally.
I've been gone for a while.
I listened to that yesterday.
I love the way you start that with the bell. The bell is just so soothing.
Yeah, it's kind of like the it's my theme song. I hope people don't get sick of it.
I love listening to it. In fact, I wouldn't even mind if you started selling recordings of it. You know, like a
four
or 5 minute intervals.
Well, if you go to virtualuper.com, my number one download of all time is there's a 7 or 8 minute audio clip that you can download from the website. That's just the bellboy. And people download that, and they use it along with their screensavers.
I don't blame them, because it's nice listening to it. It's kind of soothing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. People turn it into a loop and just leave it running on their computer.
I do that at work. That would, freak people out. That could be fun.
So I don't have show notes in front of me since I'm talking on my iPhone, and I don't know how much charge I got in it either. But what are we talking about?
Well, the last thing is that the Fool in the Hill is closed.
Oh, yeah.
And then you popped up saying you were on a mountaintop, which was just awesome.
Yeah, good timing.
there's not many show notes. We're almost completely through them already, so it's kind of a flyby show this tonight because there is not a lot of tech going on. Right.
So
now.
Who's the one that got the Parallels Desktop 9?
I did.
I got VMware 5.
Yeah, Parallels Desktop 9 just came out. I've had that from the very beginning, so I always
had VMware from the beginning.
I had
Parallels in the middle, and I don't really see where there's much difference between the two.
I think
VMware seems to get more support from the open source community.
Well, I think Parallels is written on top of VMware, actually, because if you look at them and the way they run, they're absolutely identical.
Really?
Yeah, and the install and stuff. So I have a feeling Parallels probably licensed some kind of VMware. Michael just disappeared again.
No.
Let's see if he comes back.
He slipped into a parallel universe.
So, But it's really fast. Now, the only virtual machine I have on here is a Linux machine right now. But, man, it's wicked fast. I mean, you can't tell that you're running on a virtual machine.
Well, a lot of that has to do with what resources you have to throw at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. There's Michael again.
Because when I was messing around with VMware on the earlier versions, I had lower powered Macs, and you know, I didn't really run into issues, but I did have some slowness. But on the current Mac Pro that I have, I can give it, you know, like a 2 cores of a CPU, and I can give it I think I'm giving it like 6 gigs of memory, and Windows 7 runs really nice on it.
Yeah, I had Windows 7 on an external hard drive. Running on here.
I have it on the internal because I have that many bays.
Well, when you get a Mac Pro, yeah. I've got the MacBook Pro, and it's only got 500 gigs. So,
My Mac Pro's got 24 gigs of memory, and it's got 8 cores. So there's plenty of cores to go around for everybody.
I got 16 gigs of memory and virtually 8 cores. Not virtually. I guess I have 8 cores, but some of that is hyper-threaded. There's really 4 cores, I guess.
I've got 2 quad-core processors, Xeon processors in this thing. And so I can run Windows on 2 cores, run Ubuntu on 2 cores, and Mac OS on the other 4, and give Mac OS 12 gig and the other 2 6 gig each, and they all run fine.
Yeah, I think... VMware has something like this too, but the one of the things that Parallels has is coherence. They call it coherence, and that allows you to set up a Windows or whatever operating system. If you got an application that's running on a different operating system, you can set it up so it just looks like an icon on your tray or on your desktop, and you can double click on it. It automatically brings up Parallels, and it just executes like a normal program.
Yeah, you can do that.
So,
yeah. Usually, whenever I want to mess around with another OS, I want the whole environment.
Yeah. Well, you can do that too.
That's usually what I do. I usually run all 3 at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know,
you can run them in Windows, or this one you can give it. You can go on one of the virtual desktops and give it the full desktop, or you can run them in Windows if you want, but. It's just I keep up with it. When they upgrade, I upgrade. So
and it's really kind of funny because Windows 7 runs better on an emulated environment on my Mac Pro than it does on my HP.
It runs better on my MacBook Pro here too. And the other thing that Parallels 9 has is it's been upgraded to handle Mavericks when Mavericks becomes available. So
yeah, I think VMware 5 will do the same thing.
Yeah, they usually.
I think the advantage that VMware has is that they're used in a professional IT environment. When you talk about like blade servers and things, a lot of that kind of stuff is all running a variant of VMware.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and have a virtual environment.
Yeah, you can, but I'm telling you, there's no difference between Parallels. In VMware.
Well, when I had Parallels, it was back with Parallels 5, and I think it was VMware 4. The two of them, when I was running them, they didn't really seem to be much different from each other.
Oh, they're not. They're virtually identical. Virtually identical. Like I said, I really think what is going on is I should do some research on this, but I swear Parallels licenses VMs or VMware's. Virtual machine. So, because I mean, the setup is identical. Everything's identical.
I found that to be the case.
Yeah. The only difference is Parallels and VMware's caught up with this. Parallels had better drivers when they first came out. When they went over to Intel, Parallels was always a little bit ahead of VMware, but now they just leapfrog each other. So,
you know, it almost seems like there's a degree of collusion there.
There might be. There's the same price, too. So, You be the judge. But, yeah. The reason why I stick with Parallels is because I upgrade every year, and it's cheaper to upgrade than it is to go out and buy a new version of VMware.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I started with VMware, and that's the same thing with me.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's good. I've had it for a couple days, and I checked it out using Linux. I haven't tried the Windows part yet because my Windows side is kind of screwed up. For some reason, it doesn't think it has a license to operate when I do have a legal license to operate it.
That's just Windows.
Oh, God.
Windows did that on my PC.
Yeah.
It came up one day and decided it didn't have a license, and then the next day it did.
Right.
So I was like, well, okay.
So I got to go re-register it, and of course I should remember to take it down because the keys are all up here in a file cabinet. And when I was trying to play with it down in the family room, I was that lazy that I didn't want to get up and go up into my office to get the damn
key. Well, Barry, I have to admit to having the same sort of malady. And mine is even worse because a lot of that crap is like in the next room, and it's kind of like, screw it, I don't want to go look for it.
Yeah. It's just not that important for me to run Windows.
Yeah, it's like, okay, we'll just turn this off and play with it like a week from now.
Yeah, then you forget about it. And
and the next time it comes up, you're like, oh, crap. I remember this.
Yeah. So
yeah, been there, done that.
So my last topic for the night, and we'll have to fill in for the rest, is every once in a while I use Google Maps. And last week I heard that they upgraded, they added some features to Google Map. They started incorporating some of the Waze stuff into it, and so I said, oh, well, let me go ahead and use it to get back and forth to work, just what the heck.
That was me.
Okay, he must be charging his phone.
He's falling off.
No, I turned my ignition on and forgot the radio was on.
So I brought up Google Map, and I hit my work. I have it saved, so I hit work and say I'm going to work, and it was like, tell me it's going to take me an hour and a half to get to work. And I'm like, huh?
Cutting edge.
Well, this is Google Maps. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get to work. So I'm following along, and of course, and then it was trying to get me to loop around in Peterborough, and I said, this is sounding awfully familiar. First it was trying to take me on all these old back roads,
trails
to get to work.
No ways, it wouldn't do that.
And then no ways. and that's what they incorporated into it. And then I'm getting to work, and I'm pulling into the driveway, and it still says I've got 20 minutes to go before I'm there. And I'm looking at the map.
Out and asked you where all that mud came on your breeze.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map, and it's got work at another location. I'm like, what the hell? I mean, I've had this location, my workplace in Google for Google Maps for like years now, and all of a sudden this week they changed it.
Yeah, you work somewhere else now. They just forgot to tell you.
I think this is the Waze effect.
If I was a key pen, I wouldn't bitch about it.
I think this is the Waze effect on Google. I was not pleased.
I haven't run into that. Google Maps was when it came back to iOS, I was ecstatic. I remember telling you guys about how I loved Google Maps, and then it left. And now that it's back, it's my savior. I've been using it for turn-by-turn GPS instructions on most of my trips, and it hasn't failed me.
It's been my choice too, but this week I'm starting to worry a little now because this is weird that this has happened. I'm going to have to try it again and see if it sorted itself out, but this week it was...
Yeah, as a point of comparison, I was trying out using Verizon's Navigator, and when I went to my trip to California, it was telling me I had to go about a half a mile to the right, come out to the road, turn left, turn right, and go to half a mile down, do a U-turn, and come back, right? And I'm sitting there at the intersection looking like, well, there's a traffic light right in front of me. I can make a left turn when the light turns green. What do you mean? So I switched over to Google Maps, while the light was still red, obviously. And Google just said, oh, take a left at here and then take a quick right. And I was like, okay. So that's how up-to-date Google was. I don't even know where the hell this navigator thing was getting its information from, but it was like way back in the past. Because this is an intersection looked like, it was dirty enough that it had been there a while.
Well, this is, like I said, Google has never failed me before. I am concerned now after this week. So,
Well, I'll keep that in mind if I'm ever driving in the Peterborough area. I'll switch to something else. It's a good thing I know the road. So,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. When you use, and it's not just, when you use any of these navigators, I like to do it on some, a route that I know well, because, and then see how it gets you there, because there's sometimes it's not the most optimal way it's telling you to get there. And so that makes me think, now when I'm on travel and I don't know where I'm going, I'm using one of these.
Yeah. Well, one thing I like about Google Maps, though, is if you tell it to, it will steer you around traffic. The last time I was in Virginia, I was staying at a hotel in Springfield and traveling to a location somewhere on the big behemoth of real estate known as Fort Belvoir. Mm-hmm. And I won't say where, but it was somewhere in that huge mass of stuff. And I was there for 2 weeks, and almost every day I took a different route because of traffic.
Yeah,
because
you're going through the mixing bowl.
Yeah. There was traffic all over the place, and Google Maps routed me around all the traffic until these weird streets and things, like even residential neighborhoods. Yeah. And I was like, okay. You piss me off if you're going to tell me, get me to the wrong address, but it always got me to the right place. So I really can't complain. My original love of Google Maps remains, and it hasn't let me down yet. I am so glad it's back on iOS. Thank you, Apple. I missed it when it was gone. Nothing else took its place. Not even Waze, because in a lot of the places I go, Waze is just way out of
There's out people of that swear by Waze, and when Joel and I went on that one little adventure, I do not trust Waze. But I have to tell you, the second part of this experiment was, on Wednesday and Thursday, I did use Waze to get me to work. And I got to tell you that when I started off, it totally forgot the way to work completely. It was like starting from new. And the first time, out, it was confused, and it was taking me, telling me to go left when I'm supposed to be going right, and things like that. But I got to say, after watching me go to work the way I want to go to work, the next day it routed me the same way I normally go to work, and all the mistakes were gone. So again, maybe Waze and Google Maps did a brain swap or something.
Well, okay, that may or may not be beneficial. We'll have to
See
how it all works out.
I'm gonna have to try on tomorrow when our Tuesday, when I go back to work, I'll have to pull up Google Maps again and try it and see if they're still telling me how to get to the wrong place.
In my last trip to St. Louis, there weren't really very many alternatives to the route that I took every day. So it was basically the same freeways all the way along, and I was usually heading away from St. Louis, so the traffic was very easy where I was going. And the opposite lane was obviously clogged up and stuff. So it wasn't really much of an issue and wasn't really much of a test, And after a couple of days, I pretty much had it down. But it'd be interesting to see how that plays out on other trips where things aren't quite so cut and dry.
Right, yeah. So, but I'm going to watch. That's all, I'll try it out. I'm interested to see if Waze gets better. And I haven't really touched Apple Maps for a while, but I hear they're getting better.
Well, who has? I mean, nobody wants to get stuck out in the middle of a desert with no water and no gas.
What's that?
I said, or worse yet, in Mike's driveway looking for the state park.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Exactly. So true. Mike's been a busy person, but even before the storms hit with unwanted visitors showing up, insisting his yard was the way to go.
Yep.
That still boggles my mind. This is the way I have to go. No, this is my front yard. No, I'm going this way. Not in my front yard, you're not.
As soon as you pull out the shotgun, go, don't think so. But, yeah. Well, that was all the, that's all the topics I had for this week. It was, it's been a slow week. It's because Labor Day, all the kids are back in school.
Yeah.
Everything's getting into fall mode.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like all the big tech companies are all saving their products for the big fall push. You know, they're going to be doing this stuff as everybody goes back to college and as people start gearing up for Christmas and things. So, you know, all of their biggest products they're saving for the Christmas season, you know.
Oh, and speaking of Christmas, my wife, of course, she's our sales rep, and she goes into many stores. Mm-hmm. While she's doing that, and she said she saw three of her stores are getting ready, and some of them had the Christmas decorations already up.
No way!
No!
No! Yep. You cannot cheat people out of a big eating holiday like Thanksgiving. You can't do no Christmas until Thanksgiving has passed.
Sorry, it's even overcoming Halloween. No.
Well, Halloween sucks as far as I'm concerned.
I like Halloween.
Yeah, I was into it when we had kids that were young and wanted to go beg neighbors for candy. Okay, fine, you know. But once that was over, it was kind of like, you know, there's really no realistic reason to have a Halloween. It's just kind of a pointless, meaningless time to send people out begging for crap, you know.
What do you really think about it, Barney?
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
When I was young, I liked it. And actually, I liked it. In Pennsylvania, I liked the night before Halloween, which we called
Mischief Night.
Mischief Night.
Exactly. Yeah, you can go around and screw up people's houses.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
All I got to say, it's a good thing I live on a street with only four houses.
Yeah, well, we don't have too many on our... Well, we have a lot of houses on our road. It's a big road, long road, but not many kids. And luckily, the downtown has a special Halloween thing, so all the stores and houses downtown give out candy.
Let them all go down there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, well, our road doesn't have any street lights, and the pavement ends after our house. So, you know, really... Most kids don't make it down here because we don't leave our outside lights on and we don't put a lot of lights on in the house. And it's just too freaking dark to dare coming down.
Jeez.
So,
yeah, I remember when I lived in Front Royal and we lived on a dirt road. And it was in a neighborhood, but the houses were really spread out. And, you know, we said the first year we were there, and he said, "Now we're not going to get any kids here because there's nothing, you know, nobody." And, but we bought some candy just in case, and we lived back off the road a little bit. We had a long driveway, and it was about 8 o'clock, I think. And we said, "Well, nobody's coming." And all of a sudden, we heard this small engine outside, and you heard this coming up the road.
Somebody on a four wheeler?
No, it was on a tractor, kind of like a. Well, it wasn't a John Deere, but it was a riding mower with headlights. And it was two kids. They're coming up the road. They came down our driveway. They came up for trick or treat. And then they got back on the mower and rode off to the next house. And that was it. That was our only trick or treaters in the 5 years we lived in Front Royal, Virginia. That first time.
We've never had trick-or-treaters. The first couple of years, we left lights on and things like that, and nobody ever showed up. And after that, we figured, well, screw it.
Yeah, as opposed to Front Royal or Manassas, when I lived there, you just didn't leave the front porch because it was kids after kids after kids just came up, and you never you know, there was no break, and to the point where Anne Marie was giving the candy out, and I had to go out and try to get more candy at the store because there was this never-ending stream of kids.
Well, it wasn't like Everybody Loves Raymond episode where you went scrounging through the cupboards and came up with a bunch of shiny silver discs that were actually condoms.
I don't think I
saw that episode.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Frank Marone was dressed as Frankenstein. The parents went out with the kids to go trick or treating and things like that, and they left Frank there to hand out candy. And of course, he was over generous, ran out of candy, so he went running through the house looking for things, and he found these shiny silver discs that were wrapped in silver foil, gold foil rather, and just assumed that they were candy. I mean, what else are you wrapping shiny gold foil? So he started handing them out to kids, and of course, there was a big uproar in the neighborhood wanting to know why they were handing out condoms to their kids.
Classic. Jeez. Yeah, well, it is coming soon. It's about 2 months away, I guess, right?
Yeah. We're already shedding leaves. We've already got leaves changing color and falling out of trees here.
I noticed the beech trees are starting, or not the beech trees, I'm sorry, the white birch are starting to turn yellow. Here, yeah. And I still haven't seen the swamp maples start to turn. The trees that are usually right around the bodies of water tend to go first. They haven't started yet, but the white birches are starting to change.
Here, so. Yeah, we have some aspens and some, I'm not sure what type of tree it is, that started changing, had leaves changing color and falling about a month ago, and now all the trees around them are starting to do that. We've got one whole tree that is changed into a dark color, and there's patches of red and orange and yellow and all these different trees all around the area. So it's like, oh yeah.
See, I'm thinking we might have an early fall just because we did have a almost drought-like period. And then they didn't call it a drought, but we went a couple weeks without any rain. And sometimes that triggers the leaves to start shutting down.
Well, you know, the fake Farmer's Almanac, the one that's called the Farmer's Almanac, as opposed to the old Farmer's Almanac, is predicting an early winter and a hard winter.
Hmm. Oh, no. Who publishes the real one?
It's out of New Hampshire.
Dublin.
I think it's the folks that do Yankee Magazine.
Yes, okay. Yep. Yeah, I was going to say
that's the real one.
Right down the road from here.
Indeed. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
In a quaint, beautiful little town.
Yes, Dublin.
I love driving through there.
Yeah. It's a beautiful little town, and not far from here. And it's actually the next town over. It's on the other side of Monadnock.
Well, yeah, you make it sound like it's like a short drive down the road, but it's a little further than that.
I would say maybe 10 minutes. 10 yeah, miles. 10 miles.
Yeah, 10 miles sounds right.
Because there's a Jaffrey Road that turns into Dublin Road, and in Dublin it's Jaffrey Road. That's what I love about the roads here. Whatever town you're at and you're going to another town, that's the name of the road. So if you're in Fitzwilliam, it's called Jaffrey Road. And about halfway to Jaffrey, it turns into Fitzwilliam Road, because from Jaffrey, it's Fitzwilliam Road.
Yeah, it's the same way out here.
Yeah.
My main road to work is now a closed road.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gone down to look at it to see just how closed it is. Because having a Jeep, I mean, you know, it's that could be closed or not quite so closed. But I haven't taken any chances of not really knowing. But anyway, it's called Redfield Road coming out of Florence. But when you get towards Redfield, it becomes Florence Road.
Yeah. And they changed our road used to be called Old Fitzwilliam Road. And they changed the name because there's a Fitzwilliam Road. And they're afraid that the 911... The emergency people would get confused.
Oh, yeah. That happened all over New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It really, really kind of sucks. Because Penacook, my hometown, used to be a separate entity. It was always considered Ward 1 of Concord. But somewhere along the ways, Concord completely incorporated Penacook. And all the 911 operators had a problem because there was a huge duplication of street names between Concord and Penacook. They both had main streets. They both had West Main streets. They both had high streets. So rather than change a few here and a few there, they forced Penacook to change all of their names. You know, so there's people that have lived in Penacook their whole freaking lives that no longer know where the hell they live anymore because the street name isn't the same. And they can't say that, well, my street comes off on such and such street because that street name changed. So they have no idea where they are anymore. They call 911 and say, I live on what used to be West Main Street that came off of what used to be Main Street. You know? They have no clue where the hell they are.
That's what I'm thinking. You know, usually the EMS guys are guys that have lived, grew up in the area, lived there their whole lives, and, you know, things like that. And it's like when they change the name of our road, and they go, Great Road, Great Road. Isn't that the old Fitz... isn't that used to be old Fitzwilliam Road? Yeah, yeah, I think so. You know, that's what they're doing.
Well, before this whole scheme
came
in...
We know where we're going.
Concord and Penacook were all under the same EMS system. So when you called 911 and said that I'm in Penacook at 73 West Main Street, they knew exactly where you were. Yeah. You didn't have to say that you were at West Main Street in Penacook as opposed to West Main Street in Concord. You know, I mean, they knew 73 West Main Street in Penacook was right here. But for some reason, after all these years, now that it's part of Concord, that's not good enough anymore. And people are like all confused because the people that live there don't know where they live anymore.
Well, you know what's even funnier is, I don't know whether this is funny or not, but they changed the name. Now, granted, I got to tell you that they changed the name of our road 15 years ago now. Okay? It's been 15 years since they changed it from Old Fitzwilliam Road to Great Road. And yet, if you go on Google Maps now, and I have emailed Google Maps as corrections, but if you look on there, at the beginning of the road, it's called Great Fitzwilliam Road. In the center of the road, as you go down the road, it's called Great Road. And at the end, it's Old Fitzwilliam Road. That's how Google has it listed.
I'll have to check that out and check out Penacook and see what what all the names are.
Yeah, and the numbering system, which is supposed to be based on mileage from some point. Usually, I think it's the beginning where the road starts. And that's what your address is. Now, well, ours was always, if you look on all the maps and all the GPS things, they put us about a quarter of a mile down the road further than where we actually are. So you got to wonder what's going on, what's up with that? So yeah, it's interesting.
And my comment here is, as an EMS person, we know where we're going. The dispatchers get confused. But, especially up here, I mean, this is all old mining towns.
Right.
And A Street and B Street, and there's one small town, can't be more than 100 people, and it has two different 4th Streets. And they don't connect, and they're at opposite ends of the town. But, you know, the dispatch will give us a street name, and they're like, well, it's like, what's the address? But I don't know, because some streets go through like 4 or 5 towns or townships even, the same street. It's continuous. So I just say, what's the address? And if they don't, you know, and if that doesn't say, what's the prefix on the phone? Little clues like that is all it takes for us to, you know, figure out where the heck we're going. Because, you know, I get the page at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning to some place I've never been before. We're pretty good at figuring it out. We've all got GPSs, but by the time the GPS figures out, you know, where we got to go, we're already in the house loading the patient up. You know, it's got to be that way.
Oh, I gotta love modern technology.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. So, yeah.
All right, guys, I gotta go bail.
Okay.
Hey, Barty, school night?
Hey, it's good hearing from you, Mike. I'm glad you were able to get on with all your challenges.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And Joel, it's always great to touch base with you.
By the way. Oh, yeah. Definitely. You too.
General, my general. Hey, Barry. Good to talk to you, too.
You're okay, too, Barry.
Yeah, just okay.
Yeah, you're okay, too, Barry. Well, you know, it's funny because Barry was the one that I first had contact with between the three of you.
Yeah.
Because I used to bother him a lot when you guys used to do the old show.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
you didn't bother me.
I used to harass you on my show. And you'd harass me back on yours, and it was so much fun. It was so cool.
you're one of our fans, and we were one of your fans.
It might have been the only fan either one of us had.
No, we had 2.3 listeners back then.
Yeah. I was doing, I was kind of slight until I did that one episode.
Yeah, you were saying that.
The one that did, had the, some kind of name about porn. And after I was just gangbusters. Mainly because of people that were on the Zoom network, because they were like all over it. It was funny. And it was just a simple episode. It was nothing different. It was just a screwy title. You know?
Yeah.
But, hey, it worked.
That makes you wonder about Microsoft users.
I'm not even going to touch that.
All right, Barty, you can go do drugs now.
That's it. That's hot. All right, dudes. Y'all be cool.
All right. Catch you next week. Later, Barty.
See ya.
That's funny. And for those who may not know, Barty does... He has some health problems, and he has to go take readings. And at 8 o'clock, he's actually running a little late tonight because he's usually pretty punctual about getting there at 8 o'clock, and he has to take care of his medical problems, and part of that is taking some drugs. So we joke about
medications.
It. Yes, medications. Go do drugs now.
Go do drugs.
Yep. Yeah,
it's coming from a fellow prescription junkie because I take drugs for my medical problems, too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Here, this is the pill to make you feel good. And this is the pill that brings you down just a little bit because we made you
just too happy. A little
bit. And this is the pill to offset the damn pill. And
this is Late Night Cure. I'm brought to you tonight by AstraZeneca.
That is too good.
Oh, God. It is. It's true. So, yeah. So, took my Prius in for its 155,000 mile checkup.
She's probably absolutely A-OK perfect.
It's fine. It only cost me $92.
Nice.
Which I really liked. You know, they just did the oil change. Of course, my oil change is a little higher because I put the synthetic oil in. They rotated my tires and, probably next time I go in, I'll have to get two replaced. But, yeah, otherwise, it's everything's going good, and it's still driving like the first day, so I can't complain.
Yes, sir.
And it's over, you know, it's over 8 years old now, and my batteries are still working.
Yep.
I would say to full capacity, but...
Yeah.
I'm still getting 50 miles a gallon, so...
Honest to God, I've been looking on a couple of different websites and eBay and so forth. Even though I just got my Wilson, which is the name of my Oldsmobile.
Wilson?
Wilson. WILSON.
Why Wilson?
Because when I bought that car and I was driving home for the very, very, very first time and we were trying to get acquainted and it hadn't been driven in a half a year.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing this clunk, 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 clunk in the back, mm-hmm. probably from the trunk area. And I thought, oh, man, did I just buy something like the rear end's going to fall out of this thing? And no, when I got it into the driveway and popped the trunk lid, what's in there but a Wilson volleyball? So the car's name is Wilson. And Wilson's actually treated me real good. I drove it for over a month, and I didn't even tune it up. I just put frigging gas in it and drove it.
You know?
And I just had what I'm going to call the first of up-close-and-personal moments with Wilson yesterday, which was I was driving home from work, and I went to put my foot down and hit passing gear, and she had a hesitation. Secondary ignition hesitation. It was misfiring.
Mm.
And I went, whoa, shit. So I just backed out of it and milked it all the way home and left her set. Got a ride into work on Thursday. And then here because of the holiday weekend, thought, well, start with the basics and then work your way to the most complicated, albeit which is spark plugs. And sure as God made little green apples, I researched it. And the back three plugs on the 3.1 liter V6 engine that GM developed I think was probably laid out and designed by someone who was extremely well versed in torture. Because those goddamn things are friggin' impossible to get to.
really?
Yes. Everything I had read and said, I saw three different versions. The most common, which is remove the front top engine motor mount, dog bone completely. Loosen the motor mount in the back of the engine on the nearest the ground, nearest to the firewall. Jack up the engine using a piece of wood against the oil pan and lean it forward into the radiator.
What?
Yep. And that's just so you can reach your hand back there to get to the spark plugs.
You are kidding me.
No, sir.
Or buy the special tool that'll reach in there just perfectly.
No, there is no special tool. And another, and I'm like, you have got to be friggin' kidding me. I am not taking the motor mounts off of this friggin' thing to do that. So there's got to be another way. And the least popular and third option that I had found, which was if you remove a bunch of sundries, a bunch of hoses, a bunch of this, disconnect that, and a bunch of brackets on the back firewall, and wiggle your hand back behind the engine, you can feel it, but you'll never see it. Then using a three-inch extension, then a one-inch universal extension, and then a jointed ratchet along with your spark plug socket, you can feel, not ever see, feel the spark plug. If you can get the spark plug wire boot off without tearing it,
yeah,
then you can put this conglomeration of sockets and extensions in there and crack it loose.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't snap the ceramic on the spark plug,
you'll
be able to back it out and then subsequently put the new one in.
And without cross-threading it, of course.
Without cross-threading it, of course.
And finding the hole without...
You do. So you have to, with the spark plug, you have to take the new spark plug. I'm the kind of guy, I'm like, the hell with it. I'm picking the hardest one first because it's only going to get easier from here. So I find the hardest, most difficult thing to do, and that's the one I'll start to work on first.
Mm-hmm.
And managed to get the spark plug boot off without tearing it. Managed to wiggle my hand. I took all the extra miscellaneous sundries and shit off the top of the motor. Wiggled my hand. I'm laying on the engine compartment. Now, I'm a rather large fellow. And my wife said, as she looked out the kitchen window, there I am laying on top of the motor, my feet straight out, not touching the ground, but straight out, with my arm up to almost my shoulder behind the motor. And I'm sitting here doing what I call the Stevie Wonder Ray Charles School of Auto Mechanics, trying to feel where the living Christ the threads are on this thing. And then when I finally got the ratchet on there, I went to try and figure, well, you know, crack it loose. You figure it's going to be about 100 foot-pounds of torque. You know, anywhere between 80 and 100, and that's a lot, but that's what you're going to typically find on the threads of a spark plug. Fellas, in no uncertain terms do I need to say, I used every bit of snot I could muster to crack these suckers loose, and I'm just waiting for them to break off inside the block. And fortunately, they didn't. All six were, I was pulling. You can't pull on a ratchet because I got all these universal joints. So you got to try and keep it as straight as possible.
Yeah.
And as I'm reefing on it, I'm like, here it goes. It's going to break, and my fucking day is going to suck. And that's what I'm saying to myself. All my neighbors down the street are going to learn all different new kinds of bleepers. I guarantee it. Small children will need therapy at the end of the block. The words they're going to hear come out of the man laying in his engine compartment at the top of the hill. And literally, I was able to back out the first one and felt, I am amazed. Well, I can. I was 119,000 miles, original miles on this car, mm-hmm. which is not a lot for a V6.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, as sure as God made little teeny tiny green apples, That these are the original plugs that were put in the factory in 1994.
I would probably agree with you. I would agree with you.
There was like no electrode left on them. They're AC Delco, and I've never seen corrosion on the end of a spark plug look like this. I'm like, it's actually got like welded slag and growth on the end. I'm like, what the hell is this? So I put in a fresh set of champions because I believe in using manufacturer spec. I wanted to get AC Delcos, but Napa Auto Parts didn't have any. So I go with a regular resistor spark plug, which is what the engine's designed to run around, which is next best thing is a champion. And I learned my lesson. Don't use any of those fancy Bosch and Nip and Denso and NGK on them. Serious, I have learned my lesson the hard way. It's like, oh, this plug's got 17 electrodes and 4 prongs, and it's only $10 a plug. You go, why the hell is it $10 a spark plug? And it will improve your performance 200%. So I, of course, like everybody else in the world, bought into the marketing, would buy them. I put them in a car. It runs great for about 18,000 miles, and all of a sudden, the car develops a miss. And you go, shit, why the hell is the car missing? The RPMs are off and this and that. And I would go through, and a bunch of my buddies who are mechanics have done the same thing. They check everything. It's throwing codes. It's doing this. It's doing that. You go, son of a bitch, I can't pin it down to any one thing. So eventually you start scratching yourself on the head. You go, you know what? I want to change the cheapest thing first. What's, you know, ignition, spark plugs. Take them out, and you find out they're all fouled and nasty, and these $10 piece spark plugs are the problem. Change spark plugs, car runs fine. So that's what I did. It took six. I actually labeled them, and I took a picture because I was going to put it on the on our private Google Plus page.
Oh, you definitely have to.
You can't believe what these things look like. I'm like, these. I can't believe I drove it for a month with those in it. As soon as I put new ones in the car, first off, Wilson didn't know what to do with himself because he had new plugs. And I hit the key, and it wanted to hiccup, and then realized, oh, wait a minute, everything's working properly now. Took it for a beat run down Route 3, and I tell you what, it ran better than it's ever since I bought it.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what it's tune-up stuff. Usually every time I buy a car, first thing I do, plugs, wires, air filter, oil filter, lubricate all the fluids, you know, the works. This car didn't do any of that. Just got in and put gas in and started driving it.
And by the way, sometime next week, you'll probably hear a knock on the door. And it'll be Tom Hanks asking for his volleyball back.
Actually, you know what? The funny thing is, my son took it because, like I said in the previous podcast, my son is so in love with this car that he has sworn me to sand it, prime it, and fix the body up and paint it and give it to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's like, a year and a half out?
Yep. He's so, definitely interested in cars.
Yeah, so but he wants this one. And I'm like, so you want me to fix the air conditioning for you, too, while I'm at it? Yeah, Dad. Okay, I guess I'll fix the air conditioning, too. But, so it's I'm getting it all ship shape. I'll use it for about a year. But I think I've made the decision. I got about a year to save up, so I'm going to go look at a Prius. A good used one. This brings me out. I went the long way circling back to what you were saying about your Prius, which is, I looked online, and I'm starting to see them now where they say the new batteries have been installed.
Mm.
But it's $1,800. It's like doing the tranny. It's not the $9,000 that it used to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, before, when I first got this car, they said if I ever had to replace it, it would be about $3,000 or something like that. Right. And they've come way down in price. So
The battery technology actually got better. They said when you put the new ones in, the batteries will last you 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, the body will fall off the frame before that. And realistically,
probably not because it's all plastic.
Yeah, it's all plastic. It's on a unibody.
Yeah, so
it's pretty much the only way to kill it's to crack it up.
Yeah,
but yeah, so yeah, I'm starting to see those Prius, and I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, every time I look at those, I get more and more impressed, and I definitely see what you mean about having no center console makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, because it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, well, you just got to buy yourself a bigger car. It's like, you know,
oh.
I have a sat in bigger cars, they put the seats in the same places.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I got to tell you guys this. You'll appreciate this. My colleague that I work with brought his wife's car into work.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the coolest effing car. If I wasn't going to look at a Prius, I'd look at one of these. A Mini Cooper S.
Oh, they are pretty cool cars, yeah.
I got in this thing and moved the seat. It's a 6-speed standard. Not only did I fit in it, I fit comfortably. That seat went far enough back that I couldn't push the clutch over.
Really?
Or,
a Mini Cooper.
Mini Cooper S. And that car still gets 38, 40 miles a gallon.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool friggin' cars, man. Real cool cars. I never would have thought I'd ever... granted, when I'm in it, it instantaneously becomes a two-seater. There ain't nobody getting on that back.
Well, that's true in my car, too. Matter of fact, if somebody's sitting behind me in my car, all I have to do is kind of look up, and I'm looking into their face saying, hi, how you doing? Because not only is the seat all the way back, but the back is also... down a little bit so that I'm not brushing my head against the roof of the car. And and when I look to the left out the window, I'm looking pretty much out the back window and not the front
when
passenger.
When you go to merge to traffic, or the left and to the right, when you merge left or merge right in the traffic, same thing when I drive my wife's Nissan. I look out the back passenger side or back driver's side window.
Yep.
And that's what I'm looking to whenever I go to merge into traffic. And if people see 4 feet worth of arms from the back seat that are out extended touching the steering wheel. It's just like Hightower out of, what the hell is a police academy?
Yeah, yep. Matter of fact, you could probably take the driver's seat out, and I could probably drive it from the back seat.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't quite reach that far.
Yep. That's true. And so ends our version of Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome.
But wait, we forgot the most important vehicle that we haven't heard about recently.
Oh, I know. We got to hear about it.
The Jeep. How's the Jeep limping along?
Will it make it?
Well, it's limping, that's for sure. Actually, that's where Chris and I are sitting in it right now. We're watching the sun go down on top of Brockway.
Ah.
Actually, it's gone down. But let's see here. Blew the right front seal on the front axle. I don't know if I...
Oh, no.
So it's got that... That's a new addition. It's not leaving the Copper Harbor metro area right now. I mean, going up Brockway, it was probably pushing the limit. I don't even go down to Calumet right now, which is 35 miles.
Wow.
But it's still running. I can't, it's not on its last legs or anything. It's going to get an engine transplant, and it's going to get cleaned up and painted and everything else because the number one son wants this car. Otherwise, I wouldn't be selling it. I wouldn't get rid of it. Actually, I'm not selling it. When people in town found out that David wanted the car, I'm like, well, I'll give you $50 more than he's paying you. Like, well, first of all, he's not paying me.
He's going to have to pay
for his own. He's going to have to pay for his own insurance, and he's going to have to pay for gas. But
I can't believe somebody would compete against your son for your car.
I know. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
And then I said, and if it wasn't for the fact that he wants it, I wouldn't be getting rid of it. I love this car.
Right.
Yeah.
I might fix it up, keep driving it myself.
That's a classic.
I would
Jeep.
Fix it up. Yeah, it's. I haven't, because of the events of the last couple of weeks, I haven't gotten the Jeep episode out yet and the podcast that shall not be named, which the listenership is way up. I don't know.
Really?
It's staying up there. Cool. I thank Castroller for that. Those guys up in Canada, I think, are my primary audience, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But
I said, you live further north than most of them do.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm certainly, I'm certainly up high enough. I mean, if I'm looking due east far enough, I'm actually looking into Canada, if that were the case. Uh-huh. Same thing going north. But Jeep's running okay. It's definitely in need of some serious service, but the right the right front axle seal issue has got me a little concerned. I do hear a little bit of metal on metal, but it might just be because I've got tranny fluid or axle fluid on the calipers now on the right front tire. So between that and the left anti-swear bar, there we go. between that being snapped and the link is shot and the right front seal and I've got the innovative anywhere from 3 to 6 cylinder engine. It fires how many cylinders it needs.
It's automatically fuel saving.
Yeah, well, I don't know about savings, but it automatically fires as many cylinders as it feels it needs to. The rest of the fuel just goes right through.
Wow.
At least it's not backfiring yet. But, even at this stage, it always starts, it always gets me somewhere, and it's gotten me. There's been some times, especially now with the piston slap and the cylinders, that I've had some calls where I had a really boogie before that engine had time to even build up oil pressure. And, oh, man, it sounded like it was going to fly apart.
Oh, jeez.
But you got to get to the station house. You got to get to the station house. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been seeing more and more of those little electric, not the actual cars, but have you seen those things? There's one in Jaffrey now, and definitely a couple of people in Peterborough have these. I don't want to call them cars. They're almost like glorified golf carts.
Yes, it's a golf cart looking thing that has a windshield and a little bit more aggressive tire on it.
And much bigger, much larger.
Yes. I'm probably wrong on this one, so I probably shouldn't say. I want to say it's not a smart car. They are made by who? I don't know. Are they electric?
Yes, they're electric. But they move because they get in normal traffic around town, and they can book. But there's like now I've seen like 3 or 4 of them in the area. And it's just people using them to get back and forth in town. Or, if they're home and they got to get into town and back, they're using these things. And they're pretty cool. Don't know what I would use one for, but... it's neat. So
I've seen a lot more smart cars kicking around.
Yeah, that's a coffin on wheels.
Believe it or not, that car's got more crush zones in it than my Oldsmobile.
Really?
It's actually designed, and that car's designed.
It's designed to fold you up into a.
It's designed to fold around you, and it's designed for drivers up to 6'7".
Really?
Yeah, actually the safety rating on those things is pretty high.
Made by Mercedes. All right, yes. So your golf car, street legal, 48-volt. This one is a black Stealth. They call it a club car. Electric golf cart, $5,999.
That's not bad for around,
No, not at all. And there are different mini versions. Here's the red club car, presidential. Ooh, the presidential. Easy go lifted orange 36 volt. And long story short, they're all street legal.
How many miles can they go before you got to recharge them, though?
On the website, reading, looking, searching, wondering why. Hold on a second. Leaf spring suspension. Underbody treated. 2013 black body. Street legal. You know what? I'm not seeing anything here, but then again, I might not be looking in the right spot.
Well, speaking of electric cars.
Yeah.
I won't say where.
Yeah.
But I do know somebody who is seriously looking at a Tesla.
Really?
So, late night QRM will have to travel to their location to do a test drive if this actually happens. I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
But, someone was asking me about electrical systems, and since I have a heavy-duty DC charging background, they wanted to know the actual figures involved. Mm-hmm. So I figured it out based on where they lived, what the kilowatt-hour per mile was going to be on it. And they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, we could justify that. He's like, well, crap, I don't know. If you can afford a Tesla, I don't know if you'd be worried about the electricity. But
not to mention, I mean, the Chevy Volt is a pretty darn impressive electric car itself. As a matter of fact, someone, a customer of ours, came to work and, you know, to consult while we were building product. And the request was, hey, can I plug my, you guys didn't have anywhere where I can plug my car in? I said, well, yeah, if you swing around out back by the loading docks, I can run an extension cord out. And he has this. He says, yeah, I have a special cord that plugs into the car, and then it converts it to a 120 outlet. Plugged this car in and charged it up while he was at work. Yep. Chevy Volt.
Yeah, yeah, they're supposed to be good. But they also do gas, too, right? They're not just all electric.
Yeah, his is a gas electric.
And I think the gas motor is only to use as a generator.
To charge the electricity up for the batteries, exactly. Oh, by the way, that car, Barry, is made by, here's another one, by Polaris. Mm-hmm. It's called the E2, two-seater. That's a $79.99, and you can put doors on it. They have a cabin where you can put doors on.
Yeah, this one looks like it could take doors. Yeah.
Yep, it says door. You can put doors on it. It's a four-seater. Yeah, it's actually pretty nifty looking little thing. I mean, it's ugly as sin, but
hey, but if you're just going about town and at the price of gas these days,
yeah, range up to 35 miles, top speed 25 miles per hour on this thing.
That's good enough to get around town.
Oh God, yeah,
because you know around town the top speed is 25.
Exactly.
Yeah. So cool. Oh well, that'll be
neat. I wouldn't want to try and drive one up a snowy road, I'll tell you that.
No.
8 inches of ground clearance. Curb weight, 1,145 pounds.
Really?
Yep. Payload 750 pounds, length 99 inches, height 70 inches, width 55 inches, 72-inch wheelbase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you never left town and you're just going to the grocery store and to the here and to there and tooling around, I could definitely see where
it'd be worthwhile.
Aluminum frame. Interesting. 72-volt battery system with onboard charger. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. So then you just get it home and plug it in?
Plug it in to an extension cord. Yeah. It's actually pretty neat little thing.
Yeah, well, they're getting popular.
Yeah.
Oh well, we'll see what happens. Well, guys, starting to get late.
Yeah, it is. We need to go down and check on the kids.
So we
Chris and I have been on event status all day today. So
yeah. Now, do you have power back at the house? Did you get that back?
No, we got power back. It tripped half the circuit breakers in the house too, but no, that came back pretty quick.
Okay,
but it just took me about an hour to get the tools together to put the bypass on for the water and make sure there wasn't anything else serious wrong.
Yeah.
Well, you know, other than the obvious. Enough is enough. Tomorrow I'll start patching things up. Tomorrow.
Yeah. It's another day.
There's beer to be drunk in town tonight yet. They're celebrating after the mountain bike festival. And I didn't sign up for a 24-hour shift today for a reason.
Ah, very good.
Smart man.
Is this at the brew house?
Yep. No, it's in the city park.
Oh,
the county, the community park there, right next to the playground we built last week.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's live music out there, and there's a beer tent.
Go have some beers and try out the new playground.
And it's sponsored by Bell's. I don't know if you get Bell's out east or not.
Bell's?
There's a big microbrewery, but it's a big. They ship a good part of the country, so I don't know if you've got Bell's or not.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
I haven't heard of them, so I'll have to look for them. Yeah. All right, well, we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Sasha Aaron. We had her on about a month ago, I think, and she was very good, so she will be singing her song, Not Today. And as we end every show, we like to give a shout out to all our military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, and stay safe. You know, I don't know how most people feel, and I don't like to get political, too political on this show, but I just hope we're not doing anything with Syria. Yeah, I really can't look and understand a reason why. So, so hopefully you guys that are Oconus will get back home to your family and friends real soon. Yeah. So,
Be safe out there.
Yes. And we'll keep the home fires burning for you until you get back. So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
From the top of Brockway Mountain, with a very patient bride waiting for me to be finished, this is Michael, the Virtue Keeper.
All right, people, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week for Show 108. Here's Sasha Aaron.
Washing my clothes or cleaning the junk from my car. I could be at work dealing with jerks or changing the strings on my guitar. But I'm thinking, no, I just wanna have some fun. Oh yeah. Maybe tomorrow I'll get that done. Not today. My phone or dealing with a broken heart. But I'm thinking, no, I've got better things to do. Oh yeah. Yesterday's gone. I'm thinking of you. Not today. Not today. I won't be bothered by anything. Not today. Not today.
Good boy.